Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Wednesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. LeBron James becomes the NBA's all-time leading scorer, and the Lakers dig themselves even deeper into their hole. A busy night at the Crypt, all next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everyone for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. No matter how or where you get your podcasts, it's always free. It's never going to be behind a paywall. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the show. You can participate in a community of Lakers fans that is over 11,000 people strong. It's a fun place to be, Andy. It's a fun place to go. It's a fun place to hang out. And in this case, both admire LeBron James and then vent with Lakers fans for everything that went wrong in the actual game itself. I do want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. Andy, obviously the trade deadline is coming up. The Lakers on this historic night against the Thunder lose a very significant game in ways that are very frustrating to Lakers fans. A lot of stuff going on in there. We're going to get to as much of this as we can. We will cover a lot more of it for Thursday's show as well. But you really do have to start with LeBron James on a night like, you know, like what happened on Tuesday, becoming the NBA's all-time leading scorer. It is a stunning achievement.
Yeah, it's really amazing. It's fitting that he was the one that set this record tonight, because he was arguably the only Laker who showed up, and the night really was about him. He had 38 points on the night. He needed 36 to pass Kareem with 10.2 seconds left in the third quarter. He hit a 14-foot turnaround jumper, nothing but net. It was actually a gorgeous shot on top of a record-setting shot. And he was 13 of 20 from the night, 8 of 10 from the free throw line, 4 of 6 from behind the arc. The game stopped for 9 minutes where there was a video tribute. Kareem came out on the floor to, you know, pay tribute to LeBron in this moment, passing him. It was pretty amazing seeing the two of them together. You know, I mean, it's been well documented that the two of them are not close necessarily, but you know, they've at times had a little bit of public criticisms of each other, but the greatness that they share, you know, as athletes, as people with ambition, as very smart, you know, visionary people, it was awesome to see the two of them out there together sharing that moment. Kareem looked genuinely gracious and happy for LeBron. And it was, LeBron was tearing up after he hit that shot and when everything stopped and he's thanking his family and all that. It was definitely, you know, it was an emotional moment for sure.
You think about this and what this is, and I know, like, you know, look, LeBron, we talk all the time. Kobe Bryant was a master of storytelling and branding and mythology and all of that stuff. LeBron is not as skilled at it as Kobe. I think it's just delivery, some of it's however it is.
Kobe was uncommonly good at it.
He really was. I mean, he really, really had a gift for it. But LeBron, you know, he leans into the, you know, just kid from Akron and all these other, but like you saw, I think what was so just on a sort of a human level and a basketball level and a not even so much about the Lakers, but watching somebody do this in a Lakers uniform is, you know, he, like Kobe, is a student of basketball. He understands Kareem's legacy. He understands all of these other things and, you know, takes seriously, for all the kid from Akron stuff, what it is for his family to have been there, and you know, his mom and the stuff that they went through. I mean, LeBron's upbringing was not something that everybody would want to go through, and he talked about
something, you know, nobody would want to go through.
You know, the
who'd sign up for that?
You know, you understand my point, but like, you know, he talked about the people who were courtside, you know, families that brought him in and people that he spent time with, like, and, you know, that helped raise him. And to be able to bring that community of people, I don't care if you're LeBron James, I don't care if you're, you know, who you are, how good you are, how sort of preordained this moment has been, in the sense of we knew it was coming. Like, if LeBron didn't get, you know, some sort of career ending injury, he was going to pass Kareem, whether it took one game, five game, 10. I don't care how, it's still overwhelming. Like, he is the all time leading scorer in NBA history, and genuinely did that coming from a place where I don't know how many times out of 100 the movie ends very differently. I don't begrudge him in the slightest for being overwhelmed in some ways and emotional. I'd be surprised and frankly be a little weird if he wasn't.
Yeah. You know, a few things struck me in the moment when he passed this, and, you know, I thought it was really fitting that this moment came on a mid-range jumper, because that used to be what opponents would dare him to take as a strategy. And it just speaks to the real work LeBron has put over 20 years in becoming this complete scorer. You know, I mean, he entered the league as somebody who was just too big, too fast, too strong to keep from getting to the rim completely at will. And he would occasionally hit some jumpers, but it was something that you didn't fear with LeBron. You wanted him taking those shots. Now, there's really nothing you want LeBron to do in a game other than, I guess, quit. Like, maybe just decide he doesn't want to play. I was also looking at just where he stands in other places in the record books. He is second in made field goals, which, by the way, Kareem is number one on that. I'll tell you right now, LeBron, a few thoughts I have with Kobe that may get into later too, but LeBron is never touching that record of Kareem's. I didn't realize it till I heard Mark Spears from The Undefeated talk about it on, I believe, a Hoop Collective podcast. LeBron's something like 1,000 field goals behind Kareem for that. Like, it's a lesser known record, but it's staggering. He's third in minutes played, fourth in assists, fourth in free throws made, fifth in free throws attempted, fifth in career scoring average, ninth in three-pointers made, ninth in steals, 11th in games played, 35th in total rebounds. And you have to remember, pretty much everyone ahead of him is a big man.
He is 7 feet tall, right?
Yeah, he's 93rd in blocks. Again, I haven't looked at who's ahead of him, but I'm willing to bet damn near everybody is a true power forward, true center. And even stuff like he's first in turnovers. You know, he's second in missed field goals. Like, these are the things that come with being that prolific. Like, even the mistakes are all there. Like, it's part of just the overall stamp he's put on this game.
I will say this, though, because there are people, not as many as I'm happy to say, not that many, but you know, this record for LeBron is a function of longevity. And to some degree it is. Like, you literally have to play a certain amount of games to be able to put yourself in this position. You know, LeBron has now played, you know, over 1,400 games in the NBA. Like, you can't get to 36,000 and change without playing for a very long time. But it's not like he just has sort of chipped away at it, averaging 22, 23, 24 points a game. LeBron has averaged 27 points a game over his career. That is fifth all time. You know, we
as think a pass of, first guy.
Yes. To be, and we talked about this last week, but to be first in points is an incredible achievement. To be first in points and fourth in assists is mind-boggling. And, you know, we have a lot of LeBron coverage. I want to point people to a show I did with Chris Manning, host of Locked On Cavs, Wes Goldberg, host of Locked On Heat, talking about LeBron. So we're not going to get to everything. You know, part of the thinking was, you know, we want to have more stuff that is on our feed. You can, you know, listen to it. Hopefully you've already downloaded it, and, you know, a lot of LeBron legacy talk. But, like, you know, before we go to break, one thing that I found today, just kind of looking around, we don't talk about LeBron as a scorer, in part because LeBron doesn't like talking about himself purely as a scorer and all that. And we sort of sometimes dismiss him as a scorer in the grand scheme of things. Carmelo Anthony is considered one of the transcendent scorers of this and any other generation. Do you know how many times he has averaged more than LeBron's career average per game? Four. One of them was by 0.2 of a point. So this, and I don't, and Carmelo is that good. And like, but that's, I mean, like, nothing about this is just based on he played a lot of games. He played a lot of games and has averaged 27 points a game for 20 years. It is worth just stopping for a moment and acknowledge it. To me, he's the greatest player of all time. And that's not the point of the debate we're having here, but, like, holy bleep, that's incredible. And people should appreciate it.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. I mean, when we come up, actually, I want to revisit a conversation that we had probably last week about LeBron putting his career in perspective, as we knew. I think it was after he hit fourth on the all-time assist list. But just, I was thinking about it a little bit more in light of him now becoming the number one all-time leading scorer, that, again, just speaks to the hype that he had to meet, much less exceed, which he has, which is staggering.
All right, so we'll do that, and obviously we will get to the results of the game itself, which is a far less fun and optimistic and a topic to get into, but unfortunately we must. All that coming up.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by LinkedIn. As a small business owner or hiring manager, success in 2023 all depends on your team members, and that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by using targeting tools to match open roles with people who have skills, values, and experience to help you achieve your goals. And LinkedIn goes beyond resume data by using insights from your job post, your company, and their 875 million member profiles to land the most qualified candidates. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants all on one platform. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. And it is right now, early in 2023, where you want to set the tone for your fiscal success. This is a critical time. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
A couple quick things here. I do want to just, you know, we talk about the YouTube channel and the growth of that channel and the cool people and that are in there. I was at Target earlier in the week, ran into a viewer, listener. I'm still not sure what we're supposed to call people. Sean Webb stopped me, said hello. It was really cool to meet you. But you know, that was really neat to just see the kind of the people out there and supporting the channel. So Sean, it was really cool to meet you, and thank you very much for saying hello. Awesome. The other thing I wanted to mention too, Robert Horry made the point on the Lakers postgame show on Spectrum Sportsnet of sort of stopping even before they got into LeBron to take a moment to talk about Kareem and note that this scoring record that Kareem set, he set in 1984. This was a record that lasted almost 40 years, which just is, it is a stunning achievement and a reminder that we ought to every day celebrate the greatness that is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So I thought that was a really, really great way of framing it, that he was excited about LeBron breaking this record, in part because it shines a light on Kareem, which is something that should happen more than it does.
He set the record like 8 months before LeBron was born. because LeBron was born in December of 84, and this was broken, I believe, in April of 84. So that's how long LeBron was not alive when this record was set. And, you know, Chick Hearn calling the game said that he thought that this was a record that would never be broken. And you know what? Chick had every right.
He's a damn that. Because nobody's getting, I mean, I don't like to say, you know, this will never be, but never is a long time. The trajectory of the NBA would have to change radically for somebody to catch, because LeBron is sort of, first of all, LeBron is a once in a generation talent. If not more than once every two generations, once every three, I'm not sure. The durability, the you know, obviously the longevity, the commitment to playing as many games as he has. People don't play as many games as they used to, for reasons that I don't even have a problem with. But you know, you got to pile up a bunch of 78 to 82 game seasons to get where, you know, to get to this place. And then you got to average 27 points a game for 20 years. Like, there's, and, oh, by the way, LeBron is going to add another, however many, how many points does he score every season?
A lot. I can't do that kind of math, but it's a lot.
I'm just, I have his basketball reference page up. It's, you know, the guy puts up 1500, 1600, you know, points a season now. So, I mean, he's, you know, I genuinely think this is not going to be broken. And, oh, by the way, you talk about this being happening in 1984, 8 months before LeBron was born or whatever. LeBron is now playing against people who were born in the 2000s. So, again, this is stuff that if you love sports, as frustrating as this game was, and we're getting there, and we'll certainly spend a lot of time on it for Thursday's show. If you love sports and you love human achievement, you have to appreciate, and LeBron talked about it, like the sacrifice, the dedication, the, you know, because it's one thing to be as naturally talented as LeBron is. There's still a lot of stuff you got to do and work on and understand to get to this level.
Yeah, he actually talked after the game about the coaching that he had when he was young that he, you know, said he was really lucky to have because it was so fundamental in the way it shaped the way he believes the game should be played. And he said that he thinks a lot of people are not actually taught to play the game the right way. And LeBron always has. I was also thinking, too, about just the hype that was there. You know, when LeBron was a known commodity as a teenager, and by the time he entered the league, the expectations for him, you know, as well, you know, there were actually people who at the time were doubting him because somebody, you know, we still weren't quite, I think, accepting of the idea of the guys coming straight out of high school. And, you know, this wasn't far removed from, you know, there had been successes, obviously, like Kobe and Kevin Garnett, but there had also been, you know, the Kwame Browns and the Eddie Currys and, you know, even guys that didn't get as far as ones I just named. And, you know, there, it was a very polarizing subject. And, you know, LeBron had gotten a Humvee in high school, you know, so, you know, that at that time was something that would put off a lot of people because, oh my God. And, you know, there were a lot of people looking for LeBron to fail. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, the people that weren't looking for him to fail kept raising the bar and raising the bar and raising the bar. The closer he started getting to, you know, that Jordan level, and the more he just kept doing incredible stuff. And I remember we talked last week about like how much LeBron had to do in order for his career to meet, much less surpass, the expectations. And, you know, we were talking about like, if he had had Dwayne Wade, three-time NBA champion, one-time finals MVP, I think like 14-time All-Star, something like that. I recently checked, he was 9 times, I believe, All-NBA, 8 or 9 times. That career would have been disappointing for the expectations LeBron entered the league with. And I was thinking about this even further. I'm like, okay, if he had had Tim Duncan's career, that might have been disappointing. Like, just because he didn't have the zazz, he didn't have like the type of, you know, cult of personality, whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, he didn't have the charisma. You know, Jerry West would have been, you know, maybe that's a bad example just because the championships, but like,
no, I understand, but I understand what you're getting
like
at. Yeah.
Shaq might have been considered disappointing. Like, the only careers I could think of that LeBron could have had that I think would have been acceptable compared to the hype. Obviously, Michael Jordan. I think Kobe. Magic. Kareem. Maybe Bird. Maybe Larry Bird. Maybe when it's all said and done with the effect he's had on the game, Steph. Maybe for their time, Wilt, Bill Russell. That's it. Like, those are the careers that maybe, if LeBron had had them, would have been enough. I think a few of them are definitive, you know, MJ, sure. Kobe, Kareem, Magic.
But the point is here, it's like, you could argue this guy, that guy, right? It's crazy. And like, you can argue this guy or that guy is like, where's the cutoff of here or whatever. But I think the core truth of what you're getting at, and I think you are 100% right, and it's a great way of framing it, is let's say he finished his career as the 35th best player of all time. Like, you know, or like the 50, like, where's James Worthy somewhere? Like, you know, when they did the last, you know, 50 greatest of all time, Worthy was on it. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's all that stuff. It's like LeBron James could have had James Worthy's career and people have been like, I mean, sure, he's in the Hall of Fame, but like, that's bananas. Like, to have a top 50 career in ever in the game ever. And that to me is one of the most remarkable things about LeBron is that ability that he has in a media culture, in a sports culture that is essentially a takedown culture.
Yes, it is.
Where the bar was put at a place that in a lot of ways was designed to make sure that he failed. And he did. And, you know, you don't love everything about him. Maybe you don't like his off the court stuff. Maybe, you know, whatever. Okay. And, you know, no, not everybody's going to be like, you know, we took a lot of flack this week for not me, at least I did, not being a big fan of Kyrie Irving. But again, as just as a matter of like human achievement and excellence, if you care at all about sports and these types of things, like you set those things aside and admire what the man has done. It's not going well as a franchise. It's not going well for the Lakers right now. And all of those things are relevant, but in terms of the big picture about what LeBron did as an individual and it's a team sport. It's hard to find fault. But now we've reached the portion of the show, Andy, where we need to find some fault. Lakers really played a bad game on Tuesday, and we're lucky to be as close as they were for different portions of this game. And we are reaching a place, Andy, where things are starting to look bleak. It felt to me almost like something broke on Tuesday. We will learn more over the final 27 games, but the game itself, that's next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by FanDuel. The Super Bowl is coming up, and we are incredibly excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they are the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. If you're new to FanDuel, just listen up because that's actually better. We're going to explain the features that make betting on sports fun and easy, and new customers talking to you. Join today and get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place just your first $5 bet. Sign up at FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to the point spreads, player props. Plus, you can combine your bets for a chance at an even bigger payout with same game parlay. It's all on an app that's safe, secure, easy to use. And football fans, you don't want to miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Okay, so reminder, the actual game itself, 133-130 was the final score. The Lakers got a couple, you know, Pat Bev three, like his time expired and stuff like that. They gave up 76 points in the first half of this game. 76 for all the, you know, potential distractions of LeBron, or was LeBron going to shoot too much or anything. Lakers scored 66 points in the first half as a team, 34 in the first quarter, 32 in the second, and they were down. They were down by 10 at the half because they gave up 76.
They were incredibly disjointed this entire game. And it felt like, you know, the guys out there were incredibly hyper aware of this being potentially LeBron's historic night. And they began the game looking to set him up, going way out of their way to set him up. LeBron, I think, in the beginning of the game was going way out of his way to set everybody else up. I think just trying to not be completely hoggish with every single shot. We'll get into it. AD was just in his own separate world doing something. I don't know what. But, like, the offense, as much as it was prolific, it was wholly disjointed. And, you know, that definitely, they were prolific, but they turned the ball over 21 times, which led to 27 OKC points, you know, off those turnovers. Six Thunders scored in, I guess they call them Thunders, scored in double digits. Like, it reminded me in some respects, this game, of Kobe's last game, you know, where he put up 60. And you and I were in the building when that happened. And everybody out there was hyper aware of giving Kobe the ball on every single shot, because they knew, like, if I attempt even like to dribble too many times, crowd's going to start booing. You know, I think these guys wanted to see Kobe put on a show. And, you know, for a while, that game was very rough. The difference is, other than, you know, you wanted to see Kobe go out with a W, there were no stakes in that game whatsoever. This game had stakes. Like, it mattered that the Lakers were so out of sorts and clearly distracted, and they played terrible this whole game, and most guys really just kind of felt like they weren't there, they weren't connected, that's for sure.
There's some video of like AD and his reaction to the LeBron shot, and he was sort of down after the guy. I'm going to hold off on sort of evaluating all of that, like armchair psychology of what was in, but he was bad. He was, you know, and he picked a bad night to be bad. And because we've talked about it, Andy, the Lakers, generally speaking, have enough of a supporting cast to get by and beat teams and make noise if LeBron plays like, you know, all-star first team All-NBA LeBron, and Anthony Davis plays like all-star first team All-NBA Anthony Davis. They only got one of those things on Tuesday. And, you know, Davis, this isn't even one of those nights where you look at AD and you say, you know, the numbers are deceptive. He didn't put an imprint on. He took nine shots. He had 13 points, you know, eight rebounds.
Only went to line twice.
You know, eight rebounds, two steals. You know, he was a minus four in the game. He had a block, but like, yeah, I understand. Like, you know, Shea is tough to keep away from the cup.
He's so good.
God, he is good. You know, Josh Giddey's a good player. I mean, the Oklahoma City's got a lot of good young players on it.
Yes, they do.
But
and they're a bad matchup for the Lakers.
Like, yeah, they are.
A young, athletic team that is more than happy to get into a transition game if that's what you want. It's a bad matchup for the Lakers.
And the Lakers turned the ball over too much. Some of that, I think, was a function of just not sure, being sure exactly what to do offensively and whatever. Some of it was just bad. Like, you know, Russ finished with a respectable line, certainly in 27 points, whatever, but a lot of that is, you know, some of it comes late, and he had some tremendously awful turnovers.
This was not a good game for Russ.
No. You know, he turned it around with some late buckets in terms of just the aesthetics of the stat line, but, you know, a lot of untimely plays and turnovers and whatever. But I just, you know, Davis, this wasn't even one of those games where AD wasn't, you know, put up numbers, but it felt hollow. He just didn't, he didn't even put up the numbers. And they can't have that at this point in the season. They can't, it's, maybe it's not fair. They cannot afford bad games from AD or LeBron ever at this point, ever.
I mean, maybe AD was upset that nobody noticed that he passed Zelmo Beatty for number 148 on the all-time scoring list during this game.
Where's my ceremony?
Nobody didn't stop anything. Not even by a the way, note. Yeah,
you tweeted that out early in the game. And
yes, I did.
That tweet deserves a lot of applause. That was a brilliant tweet. It was an excellent use of Elon Musk's platform. It's how it should all be used. And in the spirit of Harrison Fagan, I would like to remind everybody that Zelmo Beatty was a bucket.
apparently was.
I mean, we joke, but like 150th or whatever in the history of the game, like Zelmo Beatty was in fact a bucket. People forget. I'd forgotten.
Yeah. 100% sure who he is. So I definitely forgot.
How can you forget Zelmo Beatty? Darvin did not exactly cover himself in glory, I think, in this game. Austin Reeves only played 7 minutes. I mean, it's like, it's not quite like he had a full rotation to deal with here, but still leaning on the, the Westbrook Schroeder Beverly combo at times, you know, not necessarily staggering LeBron and AD in ways that make more sense now that both of them are available to play a full complement of minutes. It's not good.
Before we go, and this is something we can get in more into rotation and stuff like that, but, and I apologize, I don't remember who left this comment on the YouTube channel, but they pointed out that ever since AD has come back, the team's energy has been considerably lower. And maybe that's just a function of feeling like, okay, our dude is back. And we don't, because they put themselves through the ringer, just keeping themselves afloat without him. So maybe there's some natural relaxation that comes with it. But this person pointed out, wouldn't kill Darvin to play Wendon Gabriel maybe 5 minutes just for the energy?
Yeah, I try to be fair in terms of coaching. I think there are always more things that go into a rotation, more things that go into a lineup decision, more things than I think that are sort of available for public view. And so I tend to be sympathetic, but they are trying the same things over and over and over again. And to a great degree, they are not working. It is a hard thing to be a rookie head coach working with an imperfect roster. We'll talk more about this on Thursday heading into the deadline, obviously, but this was both a costly loss and where it just felt to me like something was just off. We'll see what happens, like if what kind of game they come back and play against Milwaukee on Thursday, but that's going to be after the deadline too. They'll either have a lot of energy based on, maybe the some help coming or some resignation that it isn't. I, for one, hope they make a move, but we'll see what happens. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the show. By the way, Zelmo Beatty averaged 5.5 points a game for the Lakers in 1974-75, averaged over 20 points a game 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and was, in fact, a bucket. So shout out to Zelmo Beatty and Anthony Davis for passing him, but bigger shout out to LeBron James for passing Kareem. Anyway, Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show and join in the community. We will see everybody on Thursday.